You are listening to teaching from Castle Hills Christian Church in San Antonio, Texas. More information about Castle Hills Christian Church is available at chccsa.com.
Good morning, CHCC. Location often determines wardrobe. If I'm mowing my yard, I have certain clothes that I wear. If I'm officiating a funeral, I have certain clothes I'm going to wear. If I'm at the beach, normally I'm not wearing a suit. Clothing communicates where we're at and sometimes who we are. In Joseph's story, every major location comes with a wardrobe change. And every wardrobe change reflects a change of status for him, from favorite son, to him being a slave, a prisoner, a ruler. But underneath every outfit, God was still with Joseph in each season of his life. Matthew McBirth, who does some digital teaching for us, points out in Joseph's life thus far, we've seen him change locations four times, or we will see him change locations four times. Three, which are accompanied with the direction of going down. And he was descended into a cistern or a well, being thrown in by his brothers. He descended to Egypt, being sold into slavery. Eventually, we know that he will be thrown into kind of like another pit, a prison. Eventually, though, in chapter 41, Joseph ascends. He enters into Pharaoh's palace, where he eventually becomes second in command in Egypt. Today, we'll focus especially on the first three and talk just for a few minutes about the fourth location change. In the ancient world, what you wore reflected your identity. In middle school, all of the cool kids, they wore Guess jeans, and they wore Tommy Hilfiger polo shirts. And man, so badly, I wanted to fit in, especially in middle school. But I remember my family, we couldn't afford these clothes retail. And so I would go to a discount store and I would look for cheaper versions, clothing that had defects. It might have a button missing, or there was a letter that was crooked, or anything along those lines. And I remember just kind of digging through piles and piles of clothes, trying to find something. Looking back, it feels silly how much identity was attached to clothing. But honestly, we still do it. We find our identity in clothing, in our houses, in our cars, in our vacations, in our technology, in our jobs, in our titles. We look for status from external things. Now, as we start looking at Joseph's life, I want you to think about how location determined Joseph's wardrobe change and how it reflected his identity. Location number one, cistern. Remember how Joseph's father loved him so much that he gave him a coat of, how I remember the story being told when I was a kid, a coat of many colors, or this ornate coat that would have been long sleeve, that would have went down to his feet. It was a visible sign of favoritism to him. The reason why Joseph had such a prized robe was because his father likely was going to give him a large inheritance. But we talked about this a few weeks ago. Tunics worn by working men in that day were sleeveless and stopped at the knees. And so a long-sleeved tailored garment was worn by a manager, someone who would have been put in charge, therefore was exempt from the work itself. And so the coat was a symbol of position for him. And when Joseph's brother saw him in that coat, it was a sign that the father's choice was to make him over them. And of course, that didn't go well with them. Genesis chapter 37 says in verse 23, it says, when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing, and they grabbed him and threw him into a cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. Now after this coat was ripped off, it's likely that Joseph was left with a basic undergarment, a knee-length or four-length linen or woolen tunic. And Joseph goes from being a favorite son to having stature to now being frightened, thrown into an empty cistern, not knowing what's going to happen. Yet even in that cistern, God was with him. Location number two, we see that he's in Egypt. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianite traders arrived in Egypt where they sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Potiphar was captain of the palace guard. So Joseph's clothing as a slave in Egypt would have been very simple, rough, and functional. A dramatic contrast to his ornate robe that he was wearing that his father had given him. Most male slaves back then wore a plain linen cloth or a short kilt, sometimes a simple wrap around the waist, little or no upper body clothing because of the heat. And often they didn't wear any sandals, they would be in bare feet. They didn't tend to have any jewelry on. His clothing would have visually communicated low status or lack of freedom. Yet God was with Joseph in his slave clothes. We see that God showed him favor, or God showed him favor as he worked in Potiphar's house, and eventually he rose up into the ranks and he oversaw everything in Potiphar's household. And Joseph had two problems. One, he was a good-looking man. And secondly, Potiphar's wife repeatedly tried to seduce him. Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 to 12 says, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on and sleep with me." And Joseph tore himself away and left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. And Joseph flees, leaving his garment behind. Humiliated, angry, Potiphar's wife uses the garment as false evidence and accuses Joseph of attempting to assault her. You can imagine that didn't go over well with Potiphar, and so Potiphar's angry and he has him thrown into prison. So again, Joseph is treated unfairly, and we're about to see another wardrobe change as he changes status. Now he's in prison. And Joseph's prison clothes in Egypt would have been very plain, coarse, intentionally worn out clothing. And he would have been stripped of any status or individuality. These prisons were part of like a holding place that was connected to a royal estate or a military compound or a government facility, and not quite the same as our long-term penitentiaries that we have today. Prisoners were expected to look visually humiliated and powerless. Often they were in restraints, and we see in Psalm 105 that it says that Joseph was in prison, mentioning that his feet and neck were in irons. And so just a quick recap here, Joseph has a special robe from Jacob, slave garments from in Potiphar's house, and prison clothing from a false accusation. And God is with Joseph again in his prison clothes. In Genesis chapter 40, while he's in prison, Joseph meets two officials from Pharaoh's court, a cupbearer and a baker. Both have offended Pharaoh, and so they are imprisoned. One night, they both end up having troubling dreams. Joseph notices their distress, and when they explain the dreams to him, he says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Joseph understood that any insight that he had did not come from himself, but from God. And the cupbearer had a dream that involved a vine and with three branches that budded and produced grapes. And Joseph had interpreted it to mean in 3 days that Pharaoh would restore him to his position. And Joseph then asked the cupbearer to remember him and to get him out of prison because he had been wrongly imprisoned. And so the baker hears this and is like, "Hey, that sounds like good news. Why don't you interpret my dream for me?" And it involved three baskets of bread on his head and the birds eating from the top of the basket. And Joseph interpreted this dream differently. In 3 days, Pharaoh was going to execute him. And 3 days later, on Pharaoh's birthday, both interpretations came exactly as what Joseph said. The cupbearer was restored. The baker was executed. But then the chapter ends painfully with this important detail. The cupbearer forgot Joseph. Forgotten. Have you ever felt this way? Nobody cares. Nobody remembers. You're just grinding away. You're just like a number at work. And during these times, we can become bitter and resentful and even jealous. But Joseph becomes dependable, wise, and compassionate. Have you ever thought about how pain reveals who we are becoming? So Joseph, in the season of waiting, yet God is with him, remains faithful. And then we move to chapter 41, which begins 2 years after the events in Genesis chapter 40. Again, Joseph is still forgotten in prison, and Pharaoh has two disturbing dreams. In his first dreams, there's seven healthy fat cows come up from the Nile, followed by seven thin, sickly cows, and they eat the healthy ones. And then his second dream is seven full healthy heads of grain are swallowed by seven thin scorched heads of grain. And Pharaoh is deeply troubled by these dreams. He calls the magicians and the wise men, and they can't figure out what these dreams mean. And at that moment, the chief cupbearer finally remembers Joseph and tells Pharaoh that there's this Hebrew prisoner who accurately interpreted his dream in prison. So we now are going to see another location change, because we're going to see that Joseph comes to the palace. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14 says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. He was quickly brought from the prison. After he had shaved and changed clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Often prisoners looked disheveled and unclean. They weren't really taken care of. Egyptians placed an enormous value on grooming and cleanliness, and so Joseph had to be transformed outwardly before entering in to Pharaoh's court. So again, location often determines wardrobe. Pharaoh tells Joseph that he has heard that Joseph can interpret dreams, but Joseph immediately gives credit to God, says, God is the one that gives me the insight to be able to do this. So then Joseph interprets the dreams. The seven healthy cows and the seven healthy heads of grain represent 7 years of abundance in Egypt. And the seven thin cows and the scorched heads of grain represent 7 years of severe famine that will follow. And Joseph doesn't just stop with his interpretation, but he advises Pharaoh to appoint an administrator to collect and store grain during the years of abundance in Egypt so that they can survive the famine. And so Joseph is made this advisor. Verse 41, it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger, and he dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. So he goes from the cistern to slavery to prison, and now he's in fine clothing with gold around his neck. In each location, Joseph's wardrobe changed outwardly, but God was changing Joseph inwardly. In the pit, Joseph was stripped of privilege. Slavery maybe taught him about responsibility. In prison, maybe he learned a really hard lesson, patience. And by the time he reached the palace, he was finally ready for influence. We see that Joseph's life keeps changing clothes from his coat to many colors to slave and prison clothes, but eventually royal clothes. But regardless, God was with him in every season. And maybe some of you can identify with some of Joseph's locations. Maybe you feel like you're wearing prison clothes emotionally. Maybe you're in a season of waiting. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe it's a painful season. But Joseph's story reminds us that just because you're in the pit, God hasn't forgotten you. I often say that God often does his deepest work in the waiting room. And as hard as this may sound, maybe we should embrace the waiting room and use it as a classroom, a time that we can learn, a time that we can grow closer to God. It was in the pit and in slavery and prison that prepared Joseph for the palace. And while the world looks at external clothing for status and titles, God is forming something deeper in us. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it says this, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And Joseph wore prison clothes and royal clothes, but God was with him in both. Location often determines wardrobe, but some clothing never changes because we are clothed in Christ. And so whether we're in seasons of waiting or seasons of flourishing, may we always reflect Christ in word and deed. This morning, I just want to give you three quick next steps. And stop letting your location determine your identity. Remember that you are made in the image of God, that no matter where you're at, that we are to reflect Him. Secondly, stay faithful in the waiting season. I know it's really easy to get discouraged, and I know some of you right now are in a waiting season, a tough season. But stay faithful. And then lastly, remember to clothe yourself with Christ daily. I know we're pulled in a lot of different directions, but I want us to be people of love. I want us to show gentleness. I want us to show kindness and mercy, and I want us to be able to forgive. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to clothe ourselves with Christ each and every day.